This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's morning show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. It's the Now News panel on a Friday. I'm Dave Brown, joined by Paul Daniel and Megan Gilmore. Let's address our next topic. Several employees in British Columbia are going to be getting a minimum wage increase, while other workers in Quebec and Ontario will receive a pandemic pay raise. The province of British Columbia says liquor serving employees earning minimum wage will make $15.20 an hour, up from $13.95 effective June 1st. In fact, the general minimum wage is increasing from $14.60 to $15.20 as well. The province does say future increases to the minimum wage starting next year will be based on the rate of inflation to provide predictability. Meanwhile, employees at Sobeys, Foodland, Freshco, and other grocery stores operated by Empire in Quebec and Ontario will have their pandemic pay boosts reinstituted while provincial lockdowns are in effect. Megan, you wanted to discuss both of these topics. Why?
Back in those days before the pandemic, we all can remember that, when we were discussing wages and employment, fairness and equity, one of the big topics is minimum wage. And for many jurisdictions, it was a fight for what was often known as 15 and fair. So $15 minimum wage and then fair working conditions and other policies. For the past 13 months, as we have discussed different government benefits, that discussion about minimum wage, I think, has largely gone lost, kind of thrown out the window, because we've been focusing more on these aid packages or on pandemic top-ups from specific companies and employers. So I think it's really interesting to see both these things happen around the same time, and for us to remember that we've been discussing livable wages long before this pandemic, and now that we're in the middle of the pandemic, how will our experiences with government aid and different pandemic top-up programs impact the way that we view what is an acceptable minimum wage?
So let's start with minimum wage, and let's begin with this news out of British Columbia. Any conversation we have about minimum wage, I am going to be on the side of minimum wage should go up, because it has not moved with inflation since the 1970s and therefore has not provided a true minimum wage for so many people who earn it. So right there and then, off the top, I will let you guys know that is the framework that I operate under. Minimum wage should be higher, generally speaking. When we get to liquor servers, for years and years and years, liquor servers and other servers have been paid less than a minimum wage because the institutions felt that, well, they're getting tips. And therefore, because they're getting tips, we can offer them a lower minimum wage, even though there's no certainty to that tipping depending on their career. In fact, there were a lot of fast food places that had to change their minimum wage policies because they would put up that little tip jar in front of the cash and say, look, we're having our employees getting tipped. Therefore, we don't need to pay them the actual minimum wage. The government eventually changed that in a lot of different institutions. So that's something you have to bear in mind as well here. So for years, people who were working as servers were being paid less than minimum wage based on tipping, and therefore the institution of tipping in North America was affected as such. So, it makes 100% sense to ensure that liquor servers in British Columbia are getting this pay raise that comes in line with the rest of minimum wage, especially at a time when a lot of places in the country are not allowing you to sit down in a bar where you would actually tip your liquor server. So it absolutely makes sense that that minimum wage should go up and be in line with everybody else. Paul, what are your thoughts on the idea of liquor servers in BC being granted the same minimum wage as everybody else?
I agree with you, Dave. After all that, I'm sort of anticlimactic. the fact of the matter is, one thing we haven't mentioned is for liquor service, it's also a dangerous job, particularly for women who have to deal with a lot of nonsense and a lot of ill treatment from either employers or from sometimes nasty customers. Mm-hmm. That's something we haven't talked about. But the argument's always been to raise the minimum wage to a livable wage. And that's the problem. So I have no, personally speaking, raising a minimum, liquor servers, whether, men or women, they have families, they have responsibilities to pay, living in expensive cities. to pay the rent or whatever. Yeah, why not? A minimum wage is a minimum wage. I mean, you know, for general service jobs, yeah, of course, basic minimum wage, which we should be, I think, the $15 at least, is more than reasonable. It's a start. And, you know, if we talk more about specialized jobs, sure, the wages can vary depending on what is being demanded of the worker. But I think, especially in this kind of thing, in these service industries, and also that are particularly have been shown to be at times difficult, toxic environments for women, as servers. I think, raising the wage is more than fair, and long overdue.
Yeah, Paul, as I'm going to stay with you, you don't need to give a big long answer here, but as I read between the lines, as I read between the lines here, that says that a minimum wage should be a minimum wage regardless of sector, right? If we say this is the provincial minimum wage, that should be the minimum wage.
Correct. Correct.
Megan, so bouncing that back to you, putting these two questions together in regards to servers in BC receiving this wage, as well as the reality of across sector. Should a minimum wage be a minimum wage be a minimum wage?
I think there is a time and a place for discussions about specific sectors where you may need to keep be cognizant of other benefits that may be provided to employees. So I'm thinking specifically of individuals who have jobs where, as a requirement of your work, you are given some form of room and board. And this actually applies to an area where many people, myself included, got some of their early work experience, and that's summer camps. So when somebody works at a summer camp, they're also given room and board for free. And that's one of the reasons you can, if you use it wisely, you can save a lot of money when you have one of those jobs, because you have no living expenses, theoretically. I still think those workers need to be paid fairly, but I do think there is, in some situations, a need to closely examine all that employees are being provided, and what's all going into their compensation package. In terms of liquor servers, yes, I think you should raise the minimum wage, but I think you should also employers should implement policies to actually seriously look at the safety concerns of their servers who are doing that job independent of the minimum wage increase.
Yep, that seems reasonable to me, too, in terms of structural changes in regards to safety for the employees, 100%, especially in an environment where liquor and over-serving could definitely be a problem, as well as harassment, both internally and from customers as well. I think that's well-identified. Guys, I'm curious, as we think about the pandemic here, because there have been a lot of thank yous tossed out to different frontline workers over the course of the last year. And a lot of the frontline workers that we encounter on a day-to-day basis in the places where we do our shopping, get our supplies, et cetera, are individuals making around minimum wage, whether it be minimum wage on the pin or wages around minimum wage. Paul, how do you think the pandemic has influenced the way we think about those who work minimum wage jobs?
I think we have a little more respect for them. But I think that's a temporary thing, because we're seeing so much of it brought to our attention that, these people are working there, taking a lot of risks and all. I think, and when it comes to a pay increase for these workers or benefits, I think the best benefit that's been talked about, has been enacted on by some governments, is a paid sick day. I mean, it would be beneficial not just for the individual worker, but the community as a whole, particularly as some provinces are dealing with some soaring COVID-19 positivity rates. I mean, they need to... A paid sick day is long overdue for many workers, especially working in frontline responsibilities.
Yeah, Megan, as we reflect on this year and look forward in regards to those earning minimum wage who oftentimes worked on the front line, and we saw how quickly a lot of those pandemic pay bumps were taken away last year after some lockdowns, and how slowly they've been re-implemented during these lockdowns, what do you think that tells us about the way in which we look at those who work minimum wage jobs?
I think we need to always consider the way that a wage impacts how a job is valued, both by society and by the people who are working in it. How is your work performance tied to the compensation that you are receiving for your job? It's always an interesting thing to put in the background. I think what the pandemic has shown us is that phrase essential work is much bigger and broader than people realized. And when you're in a situation when suddenly the majority of things that you do in a day can't be counted on, you have to think about what do I need to survive? What are the basic requirements for me to continue to live and have a good life? And we're reminded of what we should have already known. One of the big things is food. How do I get food? Well, you get it, many people, from going to a grocery store. So, yeah, that, I think, should increase our respect for people who work retail. Mm-hmm. But I hope it would also flow into other areas. Particularly, I'm thinking, given some things that you, Dave, you and I were talking about on this program earlier this week, personal support workers. The need for better working conditions for them, people whose it's their job to literally help other individuals continue the tasks of independent daily living, and sometimes without the infrastructure of a larger medical institution. I think that needs to be seriously looked at.
Megan, thank you for bringing this topic to the table. It's a good one, and it's an important one, and I hope we get a chance to continue to talk about it as we move forward, not just during the pandemic times, but post-pandemic as well, whenever that may be. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.